Good morning, Boker Tov. Today's class, Bezad Hashem, should be for the Hatzlacha of Tzah Ganel Yisrael, all of our soldiers, Bezad Hashem, they should be Matzliach, Kol Pitzvei Am Yisrael, of those that were hurt in the war, all of Am Yisrael, all of the our brothers and sisters that are fighting for us day in and day out. We know that Mishnah Masechet Pe'ah says that Talmud Torah is Keneged Kulam, Talmud Torah is the other side of the pillar of the war. So we have our soldiers that are physically fighting, and then we have the Talmidei Chachamim that are spiritually fighting. And that's that stands up for each other, one handing the other. And also it should be, there's a few community members of ours that are in the hospital right now. So this should be for the Refuah Shlema, specifically Yehuda ben Yafa, Yitzchak ben Yafa, and Binyamin ben Shoshana. Bezad Hashem, Hashem should send all of them Refuah Shlema very soon, Bezad Hashem. And this should be for their Zechut, Bezad Hashem, that we should see very, very soon good news for them and for all of Am Yisrael, Bezad Hashem. So today's class, the topic is going to be, can you celebrate Thanksgiving? And the halachic synopsis, or following down the halachic guidelines of our own chief halachic authority, Rabbi Eliyahu Ben Chaim. Just before I begin, of course, anytime my wife is in the room, I always like to thank my wife that the ability that I have to be able to teach Torah is only in her zechut, and I wouldn't be anything without her. So I thank my wife for being here and for always supporting me to learn and teach Torah. So thank you for that. So before we jump into the halachic synopsis and understanding halachically, is celebrating Thanksgiving allowed? I think it's important to understand, where did the holiday of Thanksgiving come from? It's a very, very important. So we're going to spend a couple minutes doing some American history, going back and understanding the history. And I spent a good amount of time studying. This is a 10-page article that I was reading, and there's lots of articles online you can read up about it. It's important about learning about your history to understand when does something fall into the guidelines, the problem of a problem of being not allowed to be celebrated in halakha, when it's not a problem. So I'm going to read to you from this article just a few bits and pieces for you to understand what the actual story was. I think from my conversations with many people in the last few days, many people are very uneducated when it comes to American history, when it comes to any type of history in general, but especially when it comes to the different holidays. Like if you were to ask someone what happened that the Americans established such a holiday, most people wouldn't be able to answer the question in depth. And so I think just to give a general idea of understanding of where Thanksgiving came from is important. Some of you may already know this, but just give a little bit of depth. So I'm going to read to you what this article says. This is an article that I picked out that I thought was very useful, helpful. It gave a very beautiful explanation. It gave an explanation of the history, and it also went through the timelines of when it became nationally a holiday, when it became established across all of America, and so on and so forth. So I'm going to read to you just a paragraph. The paragraph begins and says, in September of 1620, a small ship called the Mayflower left Plymouth, England, carrying 102 passengers, an assortment of religious separatists seeking a new home where they could freely practice their faith, and other individuals lured by the promise of prosperity and land ownership in the new world, quote-unquote. After a treacherous and uncomfortable crossing that lasted 66 days, they dropped anchor near the tip of Cape Cod, far north of their intended destination, at the mouth of the Hudson River. 1 month later, the Mayflower crossed Massachusetts Bay, where the Pilgrims, as they are now commonly known, began the work of establishing a village at Plymouth. So over here, basically, it's explaining to you that in the year of 1620, about a little bit over 400 years ago, there's a group of people who are now known as the Pilgrims, who got onto a ship called the Mayflower, and they traveled, and they went through a terrible, terrible travel, a terrible winter. That, and when you go into more and more depth, many of them got diseases. It was very, very dangerous to be part of this travel, and they went through it and came out. This is, it was September of 1620, came out November of 1620. They survived, and given that they survived in that year and that time, they came out and they made a big feast, calling it the Thanksgiving Feast, where they thanked God for being able to help them survive this terrible winter, this terrible travel. And for that reason, they established such a holiday called Thanksgiving. Some say, now where did the turkey come into play? Some say that in that time also, when they survived, they went out hunting different animals, and they were able to find different turkeys and so on and so forth. Some say that they ate turkeys then. Some say that's not true, and it was established later on. Anyhow, regardless of that, the idea is to understand that this is why they established such a holiday. Now, why is that so important? Is because when you jump into the actual context of the halakha, you have to understand what the actual holiday is we're dealing with. So first of all, I want to bring to you a pasuk in Acharei Mot. The pasuk says, and this is really where all sources come from in the whole Torah regarding to something that would be problematic regarding celebrating non-Jewish holidays or so on and so forth. Where does it stem from? So I'm going to read to you the pasuk. The pasuk says in Acharei Mot, it says, "Kema'aseh eretz Mitzrayim asher yeshavtem ba lo ta'asu." It says, like the practices of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, where you lived, you shouldn't do. And to the land of Canaan that I am going to bring you, you shall not follow them either. And then it ends, and you should not walk in the ways of the goyim. These three words are words that the Gemara and all of the poskim establish as one of the biggest, three of the biggest words in all of the Torah, because they've established so much halakha for us to learn from. Uvchukotem lo telecho means do not walk in the ways of the goyim. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean not to walk in the ways of the goyim? Does that mean if a goy walks on steamboat, I'm not allowed to walk on steamboat? Does that mean if a goy wears a button-down shirt, I'm not allowed to wear a button-down shirt? If a non-Jew wears a tie, I'm not allowed to wear a tie? How do you explain this? So because it's very vague, that pasuk, now you have to dive into the Gemara, the Rishonim, and understand what does that pasuk really mean. So I want to bring to the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Halachot Avodah Zarah, chapter Yud Aleph, chapter 11, in the beginning he talks about, what does this mean? So he says, "Ein holchin bechukot ha'avdei kochavim." You're not allowed to walk in the ways of the non-Jews. "Velo medamin lahen." You're not allowed to be similar to the non-Jews. "Lo bimalbush." Not in the way you dress. "Lo b'se'ar." Not in the way you get your haircuts. "V'kayotze behen." And all things like that. "Shene'emar," the pasuk says, "velo telchu bechukot ha'goy." "V'ne'emar uchukotahem lo telechu." Not to walk in the ways of the non-Jews. So the way the Rambam explains this is, and this is based on the Gemara and Masechet Avodah Zarah, is that you're not allowed to be similar to the goyim in ways that are non-Jewish customs. But again, that's still very vague. But you get some specific examples of what you're not allowed to do. So for example, you're not allowed to go, if a non-Jew dresses in a specific way, we're not allowed to dress like them. If a non-Jew gets certain types of haircuts where they buzz their heads and so on and so forth, we're not allowed to do that. This is very clear and explicit in the Rambam. Now, when you look a little bit further in the Rishonim, you look in the Gemara, there's an opinion of the Tosfot that actually describes and explains what does it mean, uvchukotehem lo telechu. What does it mean not to walk in the ways of the non-Jews? So I want to read to you inside the Tosfot. It's a very long Tosfot. I'm going to read to you just one line in the Tosfot. This one line is probably one of the most epitomal lines of this whole sugya. And really, this whole holiday is based on this one line to define what it means to follow in the ways of the goyim. So he says the following. Lechach, lechach piresh ri. The ri explains the following. The tre gavne chuka havu. There are two types of chuk. There are two types of ways of the goyim that are prohibited. So he says one of them, which is very self-explanatory. Echad she'osin l'shem chuk l'avodat kochavim. One is that the non-Jews establish something as a chuk, as a law for their idol worship, for idolatry, things that have pagan traits behind them. Anything like that would obviously be prohibited. That's why, obviously, of course, not to get into the details of the other holidays, but obviously celebrating something like their Halloween or their Xmas or things along those lines, those would definitely be prohibited because those have actual idolatry roots behind them, making them fall into that category, which almost all poskim agree that that is a problem of following the goyim. But now there's another example that the Tosfot brings explaining what does it mean to not follow in the ways of the goyim. And he says, "Ve'echad she'osin l'shem da'at hevel u'shtut shelahem." Another way that's prohibited is if the non-Jews establish something for no other reason whatsoever. They establish something for shtut shelahem, for the stupidity of theirs, for da'at hevel, for nothingness. There's no reason why they're doing something like that. And obviously this is still a little bit vague, but now it gives you a little bit more of a background of, hold on, okay, is it idol worship? Or is it something that there's no explanation behind it? Meaning to say, if there was a permissive explanation why they established something, or a reason why they're doing it that would not fall into the category of these two topics, then it would not be prohibited. So just coming back to our examples that we mentioned, a non-Jew wears a tie. Is a non-Jew wearing a tie for no other reason, just out of their stupidity? No, it's not for no other reason. It's tie today has been accustomed to become part of a person's clothing in order for a person to dress in a more proper way. There's reason behind it. Now, how you give reason to each and everything is up to rationalization of the person who's defining it. So it can become very complicated if you're rationalizing and you're trying to explain that there is a reason or there is not a reason. But I think now when you understand this Tosfot, and this is a Tosfot that Rabbi Ben Chaim quotes day in and day out every time we discuss this topic, he's always quoting this line, that the problem of going in the ways of the non-Jews is when it's either idol worship or it has something to do with nothingness. No, as no reason whatsoever why they establish this. It's complete stupidity why they're doing it. And for that reason, it would be a problem to walk and follow in their ways. Now let me ask you, just off the bat, we spoke a couple minutes about the holiday of Thanksgiving and why they established the holiday and where the holiday came from. Now, when you look at that holiday now, just in general, without going in depth, does that holiday fall into either of these two categories? The category of Avodah Zarah, idol worship. There was no idol worship whatsoever done there. Or the category of nothingness. There was no reason out of stupidity why they established Thanksgiving. What's the reason why they established Thanksgiving? To be grateful and thankful that they survived. So there is a reason. It's a very good reason. Now, I'm not to say that it's allowed or not allowed yet, but does it fall into these two categories? No. So that's very clear from this Tosfot. Now, I'm going to quote to you the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, which actually very interestingly brings down a little bit more specific examples and quotes this Tosfot as well. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam that we just mentioned. He says, what does it mean? This is in Siman Kuf Ayin Chet. He writes about what does it mean not to walk in the ways of the Goyim. So he says, Shelo Lidbosh Kem Labusheh Avdei Kochamim, not to wear the clothing of the non-Jews. And he says, Ein Olchim Bechukot Avdei Kochamim, Lo Yidbash Malbusha Meyuchad Lahem. If they have specific clothing that they wear, you should not do it. He talks about the hair. Lo Yigadel Tzitzit Rosho Kmo Tzitzit Rosham. You shouldn't grow out your hair the way they grow it out. Velo Yigalech Meyatzadin V'Aniach HaSe'ar Be'emza. The non-Jews, what they do is they buzz the sides and they leave the middle, right? Like the... This is what they do, so you're not allowed to do that either. This is what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. Now, when you jump to the Ramah says the following: Haga, ele yeh muvdal mehem b'malbushav ushar ma'asav. You should be different than the non-Jews and the goyim in your clothing, in the way you dress, and in your actions. And he says, v'kol ze eno asur ele b'davar shenahagu bo ha'avdei kochavim l'shem pritzut. This whole topic of going in the ways of the goyim, the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles quotes, who's the Rabban Shalai, who's the Rabbi of the Ashkenazim, he quotes that this problem is only when the goyim established this, l'shem pritzut, for promiscuity, for things that are not appropriate reasons. And he says, kegon shenagul lilbosh malbushim adumim. Let's say the non-Jews had a custom to dress red, wearing red clothing, which may not have been as modest and appropriate. V'hum malbush sarim echadomeh. That was the clothing of the officials and the higher up authorities. Chadomeh lazev malbushah pritzut, and all different types of this with regards to the pritzut, the promiscuity. O b'davar shenagu leminhag v'lachok. And he says another reason, which this is stemming really from this Tosfot. He says, when would it be prohibited to be like the non-Jews? Would be if they establish something as a custom. Ve'ein tam b'davar, and there's no reason. They have no other reason why they're doing it. You ask them, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? In the Sibah, I don't have a reason behind it. The ikal amechash be mishum darkei ha'emori. Over there now we have a problem of following the goyim because that's the darkei ha'emori. V'sheyesh bo shemetz avodah kochavim avotehem. And that they might have something left from the nature of their avodah zara. Maybe that's why they're doing it. Meaning the concern is always coming back to avodah zara. So if they don't have a reason, maybe we'd be concerned that maybe that reason is out of idol worship. We just don't understand why they're doing what they're doing. And this is the ikar. This is the most important line. Aval davar shenagu letoelet. But let's say something that the non-Jews have a custom to, out of a purpose. There's a reason behind it. Kegon shedarkan shekol mishehu rofe, mumche, yesh lo malbush. It says anyone who's a professional doctor, they have a specific dress, the way they dress. Miuchad shenikar bo shehu rofe uman, mutar lelofsho. It says if, let's say, you have a doctor who wears, they wear these, what do you call them, the jackets, the doctor jackets. Right? What is it called? The white robes, right? They wear those white robes. Scrubs, right? So, seemingly from this, that wouldn't be a problem because why are they wearing it? They're wearing it to show specifically that he's a professional doctor. He's a professional in the medical world. So therefore, the Ramah says that that would not be a problem. V'chen she'osin mishum kavod o tam acher mutar. If let's say they're doing it out of honor or respect, that also would not be a problem. Why? Because they're not doing it. The non-Jews are not doing it for no reason. So therefore, now when you tie this back to Thanksgiving, does Thanksgiving fall into this category? Does Thanksgiving fall into a category that non-Jews are doing it for no other reason? In fact, when you look at the history, there's such a good reason why they're doing it. They're doing it because we're being grateful. It's a very, very good reason actually why they're doing it, and has nothing to do with idol worship whatsoever. So now, when you come down and you leave this realm now, after this understanding of the history and the beginning synopsis of this halakha, you start to see that, okay, it's no connection to Avodah Zarah. So now, when you break down now, you get down to the later generation Rabbanim, Achronim, and you see the different opinions, there's a wide variety of different opinions in this regard, if you're allowed to celebrate Thanksgiving or not. There is such a wide variety that if you don't have a Rav that you follow, you will be lost to the extent. Because you'll find opinions that will say, it's completely Avodah Zarah, it's like idol worship, which I don't understand at all. Mechila mikvodam. I don't understand whatsoever how you can possibly say that it's Avodah Zarah, number one. There's some opinions that say, there's no problem whatsoever, why would this be an issue? Which I don't agree with either, because you have to dive in and understand that when a goyim established something, you have to learn the halakha. So to say there's no problem, just close your eyes, is also not correct. Now there's many opinions in the middle also. Some people say it's okay to do it, but don't do it all the time. Some people say do it, but I don't know about the turkey. Some people say, you have so many different achronim who give different opinions. So without aselach harav, without your own rabbi who teaches you what is the halakha today, you can very well be lost. And so that, therefore, when you're learning the sigya, you have to now jump in to the very famous opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein has about four teshuvot, four responses on this question. Are you allowed to celebrate Thanksgiving? And are you allowed to eat turkey? This is where Moshe Feinstein discusses this question. So there's a short teshuvah in Igrot Moshe Yeredeah, Chelek Dalad Siman Yud Aleph. Over there he discusses this question. It's very short, so I want to read it to you. And it's very important to understand his opinion, because many people quote Rav Moshe Feinstein incorrectly. He says the following. The question is, "Im asur mitzad chukotayim lo telechu lishtatev v'seudot yom ha'odaya she'osim ba'artot habrit?" Is it prohibited because of not going in the ways of the non-Jews to join into a meal, a feast, with regards to Thanksgiving in America? This is the question. He says, "With the varish tatfud v'mi she'machshivim yom ha'odaya Thanksgiving ke'en chag lasot bo seudah." He discusses this question about celebrating Thanksgiving. "Hine lichora mikevan she'bisifrei datam lo huskar yom ze lechag." In their books of their religion, he says, this is not a holiday that's mentioned. He says, it's not a holiday that's mentioned. Begam lo sheitchayvu b'seudah. And no one ever said in their religion that you're obligated to eat a meal. Is there a chiyuv in their religion to eat a meal? V'kevan shuhu yom zecher l'anshei medina. Since it's just a day of commemoration for the men of our state, of our country, for surviving, shuhu gam ken sameach b'medina sheba lagur. And you're also living in America, even if you may be a Jew, you're also happy being part of this country, that your country, the people of your country, the pilgrims, they survived. So you're happy to be part of that. Lekan, so Lagur Lekan, Ata, Omikvar, or maybe you were here prior. Let's say you used to live here, and you're happy now with this custom that you've been accustomed to. He says, Lo matzinu baze isur, la ba'asiyat simcha, miseuda, lo ba'achilat tarnigol ha'hodu. He says the following, we've never seen an isur, a prohibition, not with celebrating in this feast and this meal, and not with eating part of the turkey. This is what Rav Moshe Feinstein writes. But most people, they stop there. And then they don't continue the rest of the responsa. So it's important to understand Rav Moshe Feinstein's the rest of his opinion. Ukdematzinu v'chay gamnam kiddushin. And he goes a little bit more in depth. Aval vaday asur likboa zo lechova ul mitzvah. He says, but he adds a little tidbit. But you're not allowed to establish Thanksgiving as a obligation and a mitzvah that you do every year. Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion is that you're not allowed, he says it's permitted to celebrate Thanksgiving and it's permitted to have turkey, but it shouldn't be something that every single year, kavua, you have to be there and you have to be part of the meal and you have to eat part of the turkey, and if you don't eat the turkey, lo yatzai idei chova, you didn't fulfill your obligation. He says, it can't be like that. He says, some years you go, some years you don't, some years you eat the turkey, some years you don't. This is where Moshe Feinstein's opinion. Ela lesimchat hareshut ata. It's a celebration, an optional celebration that you join in. ובאופן זה, בלא קביעות חובה ומצווה, יוכל גם לשנה אחרת גם כן לשמוח ולעשות בו סעודה. He says, if let's say this is your custom, and this is what you do, even next year if you want to join and have that seudah, that's fine, as long as you're not establishing it as a chovah, as an obligation, that every year you have to do it. Just a tidbit also for your understanding, I think also history is important. So the history is, it took some time until this became nationally wide established across all of America. But once it was, this became on every year. The last Thursday of November, this became established as the holiday of Thanksgiving across the world. And so therefore, this is what he's saying. So even though they did establish it as a chovah, but if you don't establish it personally as a chovah, according to him, it would be permitted. But Rav Moshe Feinstein would say that establishing it as an obligation every single year to do would be problematic. But then he ends. Aval ani sover de mikol makom asur la'asod yom kavua b'shana l'chok zeh. You're not allowed to make a specific day every year to celebrate this holiday. And then he says, and then he quotes some sources, he discusses this point and he says, he just reiterates this point, that you shouldn't make it something that's an obligatory thing that you have to do, an obligatory day, we have to get together. If you can, you do it, and if not, not. If you can join, fantastic. This is the opinion of Moshe Feinstein. Now, why I say that most people quote Rav Moshe Feinstein incorrectly, because most people quote Rav Moshe Feinstein as the opinion that permits Thanksgiving altogether. But that's not the case. We saw very clearly, and this is how he quotes himself in different responses, is that Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion is that you're allowed to partake in the Seudah, in the feast, but you're not allowed to do it as an obligation or a mitzvah every single year. So he's kind of in the middle somewhere. There are those opinions, which I'm not going to quote because I don't agree with whatsoever, that say that this is completely asur, it's completely prohibited whatsoever, it's avodah zarah. There are some opinions that say it's completely fine. Rav Moshe Feinstein is somewhere taking a middle ground, stating that you're allowed to do it, but don't do it every year. Don't make it an obligation that you do every year. Okay, now when I brought this teshuvah, this responsa, to our own Moreinu v'Rabbeinu Rav Ben Chaim, and I discussed this question with him, I asked him, what does the Rav think? I asked him, do you think Rav Moshe Feinstein is correct? Do you think that it's allowed, but you shouldn't do it every year? Do you think, what about the turkey? Do you think that's a problem? Isn't that? And he quoted to me exactly what the Tosfot said. He said, what is hukutayim lo telech? What does it mean not to walk in the ways of the non-Jews? So just recapping. The Tosfot said, it's either if it has idolatry roots, or if it's based on stupidity and nothingness. So he said, the holiday of Thanksgiving is neither of those. The holiday of Thanksgiving, history is, the pilgrims, they survived a terrible, terrible winter, and for that reason, they celebrated this huge feast, and for that reason, it became nationally, nationwide, that all of America celebrates on the last Thursday of November, they would celebrate the holiday of Thanksgiving, appreciating that God saved the pilgrims, and that they survived. That's a very good reason that has nothing to do with idol worship and that has nothing to do with stupidity. It's a good reason to be grateful and be appreciative. And so for that reason, when I asked Moreinu Rabbeinu Ben Chaim, he told us that it's completely permitted. You're allowed to celebrate Thanksgiving. There's no issue whatsoever. You're being grateful. If anything, it's a good custom to do, to be grateful and maybe spend some time today on the holiday of Thanksgiving to be a little bit more appreciative. Maybe talk about a few things that you're usually not appreciative throughout the year. Talk about them with family. Discuss things that you're grateful for. Discuss things with your family that you're grateful for. It's important to do that because most times people don't focus on being grateful, and therefore you needed to establish one day in the year to be able to do that. Now this is all the halachic synopsis. So again, just to recap, we brought down the whole sugya. We talked about the history. We understood our own Rabbeinu Ben Chaim's opinion that it's permitted. You're allowed to do it. Even if you want to do it every year, he says there's no problem whatsoever. Now I want to take you a little bit a step further beyond the halacha, just to understand a little bit more hashkafically in the thought process of celebrating such a holiday. What does it mean to celebrate one day of the year of Thanksgiving? If you think about it logically, what that means is I'm stating that I am being grateful for one day of the year. But we know that being part of Am Yisrael, we have to be grateful every single day of the year. So yes, halachically it may be permitted, but hashkafically, don't get mistaken and think in your mindset that it's okay only to be appreciative one day of the year, or only to be grateful one day of the year. Whereas what I think the reason is why they established it as one day of the year is that it's hard for a person to be so exponentially grateful every single day. It's hard that every single day you're constantly just being grateful for everything that you have. So they said, you know what? Be grateful as much as you can. But on this one day of the year, blow yourself up with appreciation to Hashem for everything that you have. And I think really maybe that's what the purpose is of this holiday for us, for Am Yisrael, what we can do and take from it. Yes, you want to have turkey, have turkey. You want to celebrate with your family, celebrate with your family. You want to join the feast, perfectly fine, join the feast. But don't miss out on the main point of the day. The main point of the day is Thanksgiving, is being thankful for everything that Hashem is giving us. And so look into your life and contemplate and look inside you to everything that Hashem has given you and everything that you have up until today. Or even for this past year, look at how much Hashem is giving you. The ability that you have to breathe, the ability that you have to eat, the ability you have to eat the turkey, the ability you have to walk, the ability you have to see, the ability you have to move your arms. You know, if one little thing goes wrong when a child is in the mother's stomach, one little atom, one little cell, one little thing goes wrong, that's it. That's it. The child is not normal anymore. So the fact that you're alive and you're healthy and you're living a normal lifestyle means that you have reason to be grateful. It means that you have tons of reason to be grateful. And I want to end just with one idea that we say every single day. we wake up in the morning, the first thing that we say is Moda ani lefanecha, or thank you Hashem, right? So I had a question once, it was a very interesting question. They say in Hebrew, why are we saying Moda ani lefanecha? Thank I to you. It's very, now in Hebrew that's how it's worded, but it's interesting why it's worded in such a way. You would think in regular grammar, you would say, Ani mode lefanecha, I am thanking you. Why does it say, mode, thank, ani, I, lefanecha, to you? You ever think about this question? First day, first word you wake up with in the morning. So I heard something very beautiful once, I forget who I heard it from. But it was a very important line, I think it connects to today's day. The person said that you never want to start out your day with the word ani, with the word I. You always want to start out your day being grateful. So we start out our day with the word mode. First of all, I'm thankful. Then you want to say, okay, I am thankful, ani. But first off, you start out to remind yourself that life is not about you. Life is about giving to others. Life is about being grateful for everything that Hashem is giving to you. And this is exactly, I think, what the lesson and the message is that we can take from such a day. Is that don't look at the day and look down and say, oh, these people are celebrating a non-Jewish holiday. I'm too observant, I'm too religious, I'm not like them, I'm different. This has nothing to do with being Jewish or non-Jewish. This has to do with, are you a grateful person or not? Because at the end of the day, Thanksgiving is not, if it was Jews, it's very likely we would still be celebrating Thanksgiving also. So let me ask you, if those pilgrims were all Jewish, then Thanksgiving would be perfectly fine according to those opinions, but because they're not Jewish, that means it's not fine? It doesn't make any sense that you would say that it's idolatry or idol worship, or why there would be problems with it. So in my mind, the understanding is, you have to think about it as, wow, what a history we have, that we're part of a country that Hashem gave the ability to these people to survive in such a difficult travel, such a difficult winter, and we're part of that. We're descendants of this country. We were born here, for many of us, or not, if not all of us. So therefore, what's our obligation is, maybe we're not obligated to celebrate Thanksgiving, or we're not obligated to eat the turkey. If you want, you can. But what we are obligated to do is to be grateful on Thanksgiving and every single day of the year for everything that we have. Let's do some introspection today and look inside ourselves to see how much Hashem is giving us and what we have and what He's providing for us. So let's at least take advantage of the day. And I'll finish with this one last idea, is that I think most people, they miss out on the main point of the day because they're so focused on little nitty-gritty details of, am I allowed to do this or am I not allowed to do that? This is not that type of holiday. You're not, someone came up to me last night, he's like, do I have to eat a kazayit of turkey? Do I have to eat this amount of turkey? I said, what, do you have to eat a kazayit of turkey? It's not like that. This is an opportunity Hashem gave us to take one day off from work, one day off from all things, and be able to focus on appreciation. And I guarantee you, if you spend today introspecting and seeing how much Hashem has given you, and just being grateful for everything that you have, it will make it such a more meaningful day for you, that you'll look back and you'll say, wow, if I had looked at Thanksgiving like this my whole life, my life would be so much better, so much more different. And Be'ezat Hashem, with our appreciation to Hashem, when you show appreciation to God, Be'ezat Hashem, He will return and reward us and all of our brothers and sisters to protect all of Am Yisrael. Amen.